Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. We'll read the first three verses of Isaiah 61. Would you already have it open? Oh. See, God got Bob and George Ann out of the rest there. Praise the Lord. Joe and Angie and Terry. All right. Let's read together in Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. And here we go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now we're still speaking about our idea about the nations of the saved, and then within here is the church. We said this morning that a first fruits is coming out of the church, and for those in the tape, we just made a large rectangle, a smaller rectangle within it. Like the tabernacle, the courtyard, and then the tabernacle building. And we're saying that the tabernacle building is the church or the kingdom of God. And that outside of that, but saved, are the saved nations of people of the earth for whom the church is being prepared so that we might be kings and priests. And then outside of the large rectangle is the outer darkness. Outside of the linen fence of the tabernacle is the outer darkness, lake of fire, Hades, and so on, not within the blessing of the Lord. And we talked last week about the fact that in the ages to come, there won't be just the saved and the lost, but there is the church and the saved and the lost, which is a new concept to some. And this morning we talked about God's plan for perfecting the church. That he's going to do it in two stages, that he's going to perfect the first fruits first, and then that first fruits will work with the Lord in perfecting the rest of the church. And when he gets the rest of the church perfected, what will he do? What's the purpose of perfecting the church, of bringing it to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Yes, to this world will be a blessed place to live. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to pray. And God's going to do it through the church, but he's going to perfect the church through a first fruits of the church. Now, we said two things as cautions about the concept of the first fruits. What was it? Huh? Well, yes, that if you miss these two points, you can end up as a little group of super spiritual believers telling yourself how wonderful you are and how wrong the big churches are. But what are the two things that keep us from doing that? Right. The first principle is that God has given us a hunger for righteousness and an anointing so that we could be a first fruits. For what purpose? Minister to the rest of the church. In other words, he hasn't made us super Christians, so we can tell ourselves how wonderful we are. But with everything that God gives us, with every bit of hunger for righteousness, with every bit of revelation, that has been given to us for the sake of the rest of the church. Nothing has been given to us because we are special or because we have worked harder than others. This is all by election. See, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's a gift. And all members of the church don't have that. But it is not given to us because we earned it or because we're better than anybody else, but because that makes us responsible for the family of God to help them. Everything that is given to us shall be required. And you know, the Lord, well, let's take the second thing first, if we don't forget it. First, to keep us from getting to be a little spooky group, is that what God has given to us, He has given to us not for ourselves alone, or even primarily, but for the sake of the body. And what's the second thing that keeps us from getting into a spooky little group? And this is important in this day when we're talking about the sons of God and the brothers of Christ and the wife of the Lamb and it's all different companies. What is the second thing that's really important?
That we're going to go back if you want.
It's a temporary thing. It's a temporary division of the one church. The overcomers and the rest of the church is temporary. It's not permanent. And what figure did we use to show that? Gideon's army. And what else? And Joseph, now that he was absorbed back in Israel, and Gideon was absorbed back in Israel after the job was done. David went back into Israel. He didn't remain as some star. And what other figure did we use? To show the temporariness of it. Temporariness of it. Is that right? Bob? It is a seamless robe. That's right. I mean, we're dividing it. And we're saying it's temporary. And what can we like in this first fruits too? You remember? It's a bound up man. And what does he do? He gets his arms loose first. Okay? And then the hands say, oh boy, we're it. And that's the problem. See, that's the problem with the overcoming message. And then pretty soon your feet are beginning to say, look, we're still tied, and brother, you're not going far without us. So that's the whole point, is that overcomers, that's great, but the overcomers can't do anything of themselves. They have been invested with responsibility, like Joseph, one, to save Israel, and two, it's temporary, and then Joseph goes back into Israel and becomes part of Israel and Ephraim and Manasseh. So if we keep that in mind, we don't get off into any trip, any ego trip. But that's the plan that God is going to use. And we talked last Tuesday night, and all of us know about the ark and how it got separated from the tabernacle, don't we? The ark was separated from the tabernacle. When did that happen? During the time of Samuel. And then David brought it back, but it never again was joined to the tabernacle. Where did David keep it? In Zion. In Zion represents what? Do you know? Zion, no, Israel is the church. Jerusalem. Zion was the first place that David took because the way Jerusalem was organized geographically, Zion was a natural fortress. And David took Zion. And when David brought the ark back, he brought it back to Zion. And where did he leave the rest of the tabernacle? At the high place in Gibeon. And see, and it's funny too, because David was a man who, like Moses and Abraham, did exactly what God told him. Exactly what God told him. And he didn't have a leg to stand on. He should have brought that ark right away and put it back in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. He had no business pitching a tent for it. And with a man as obedient as David, how can you account for this? That David instead of bringing it up and putting it back in the tabernacle, pitch a tent for it and put it in his city of Zion and put singers there and then singers with the rest of the tabernacle up on Gibeon. So all through David's life, the ark and the tabernacle were separate. How can you account for David, an obedient man, doing a thing like that? Huh? There's no record that God told him to, but you see, the spirit of messianic prophecy was on him, and he was revealing in his life that during a certain period of time, the one tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, was going to be split. It's going to be separate for a period of time. When did it come together? In Solomon's temple, when it was built. And Solomon's temple is a type of the new heaven and earth reign. And David, which was a kingdom of constant war, is a type of the, what? The 1,000-year period, which will be ruled with a rod of iron. And during that time, and right up to the end of the 1,000-year period, if you read in Revelation 20, when the nations rebelled, they went up and compassed, it says, the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And that word camp means fortress. So even to the end of the millennium, there is the fortress, or the warrior saints, and then the beloved city. Right up to the end. So the temporariness of it is shown in the fact that in the book of Psalms, Zion, the word which originally meant just the fortress, comes to mean all of God's working throughout Jerusalem. And so it is that what is now a first fruits out of the church will one day be the nature of the whole church. So that's important, because otherwise what you get are people who regard themselves as better than everybody else. And we are not better, we are servants. To whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And so what God has given to us is not so we'll be a proud church, but so that we will have something to serve. Now, in Isaiah 61, why is this chapter so especially important? Why is it so especially important? There's something that makes this chapter special. It's the one that Jesus read when it's the passage that announced the ministry of Jesus. This is the ministry of Messiah. This is how he announced himself. The first thing when he began his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, I rejoice tonight at the praise and the worship. And I believe we're going in the right direction, saints. I believe what God wants in our midst, I can feel the strength of the host rising. And I believe that God wants us, in our, not only in our Sunday morning meetings when everyone comes, but especially in the Sunday night and the Tuesday night meetings, to be so full of God's praise. And you see, we have to make an effort for that, because it's easy to drift into the traditional church role. And I think God wants us to change from that. We don't need to perpetuate the traditional pattern of the church. We know what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, when you come together, has a psalm, has a tongue, has a doctrine, has these things, let all things be done as the Spirit is moving. See, that's different from what the church has experienced. Well, we've been trying that for before we came here, and it doesn't work. And the reason that it doesn't work is because if you sit and be quiet, nobody will do anything, or you'll get somebody who's triggered to be a takeover person, will get activated. See, the wrong spirit will rise up, sensing a power vacuum, and what will happen is that you don't get your believers meeting, but you'll get people who will come in who will take over because there's a power vacuum, and we've been through that. We've been through that, and we learned that God has put in the church ministers to minister. And so we never worry too much about quenching the spirit or anything. We do what God has set before us to do, and God gives order. But please understand that this is only a temporary thing till God brings the body up to the place where it is so full of glory that when it comes in, the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you how I'll know when we've arrived. When an unsaved person comes in and the whole church stands up and starts prophesying that person's life, and he falls in the aisle and says, God is in this place, we have gotten up to the state of Paul's day. Well, you say, well, if you just don't do anything, that'll happen. If you'll sit in a circle, that'll happen. We've tried those things. We've tried those things. And I'll tell you why they don't always happen is because the spiritual tide is not high enough. And what brings the spiritual tide is when the people begin to pray, and when they come into church so prayed through, and there's an eldership that knows how to move in the Spirit, and that's important, then we can move into the kind of things that's described. And there's nothing to strain about it. God will bring order and everything. But the secret of the thing is in the anointing. It's in the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when, you know, if every person that gathered in this church, when they came in, they had prayed all the way here in tongues. They're full of the Lord. They're full of glory. You don't have to nudge them to prayer or anything. When they come in, they're ready to pray. You see a difference. Praise the Lord. And that's the direction we're trying to go. We're not trying to perpetuate the church order. We're just serving until God can bring His church to the place where they come in. It's so moved in the Spirit, we don't have to worry about people with the spirit of self-aggrandizement taking over. And that will happen when you've got a vacuum. But the Spirit will just move on the people under the guidance of the elders, and it will. And that's a moving of the body of Christ. And of course, there's time for all things. All right, the Spirit. It's everything has got to be by the anointing. Praise the Lord. And the anointing comes as we pray and obey the Lord and walk in holiness. The anointing of God. Because the Lord has anointed me to what? Bring good news. I notice in the New American Standard it says to the afflicted. In the King James it says to what? To the meek. Now, this is hard for us in our nation because we are by nature rich and well educated. You don't appreciate this till you get in another country. And I watched in Iceland. I stood in a department store, and Ole and I had gone in. I was trying to find some presents for the family, and some tourists came in. I was ashamed. I wish I had a hat on that said I'm Swedish or something. But I was embarrassed. They were Americans. They were crass. They come in, oh, look at this stuff. What do you want? You know, the whole, we's the people. You know, we're just better than everybody. Throw our weight around. America has a right. And you know what the Icelandic people do? They just stand back like this and watch. Just watch it because their culture is more gentle. See, it's more dignified. It's more reserved than that. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. The idea was, you know, you poor little gooks around here, you know, we've flattered you. Here we've come and arrived. That's wrong. It's a wrong spirit. And that's why we have a hard time with revival in our nation until God brings us low. Because the gospel comes as bad news to the people that are rich. See, we come, you know, and you preach the things that the Lord says about laying down your life and following Him. That's good news to the people in India. That's good news to people that have nothing. But that's not good news to us because we're not meek. Now, meek doesn't mean mousiness. It doesn't mean to be mousy. Jesus was far from being mousy. What does it mean? Yes, teachable. And kind of empty, not proud of our own doings. It means not proud of our own doings. So it doesn't mean we're vulnerable or gullible or mousy. It means, well, this says afflicted in the sense that we've had hard times and we're ready for some help. And the gospel comes to people like that. Sometimes God has to bring us very low and beat us around the head on mercifully until we can get the gospel as good news. Because as long as we're all steamed up and we've got the answers, brother, the Lord can't touch us. We've got to be brought low, Pete. We've got to be brought down to where we don't consider we're a great one or religious or rich or proud or educated or anything else. Boy, we come in, sat in the back row, and said, somebody help me. And then we're ready for the gospel. The rich he sends empty away. I mean, and that could be rich in money, it could be rich in spirit. If we don't need the Lord, he doesn't need us. He's come for the people who say, oh God, I can't make it today. Lord, I got problems. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. I've made a lot of mistakes. God help me. And then we're ready for the gospel. But boy, as long as we're you over there, you know, how come you're not smart like I am? You know, let's cut the mustard around here. God, that's not that attitude. So God does things to bring us down. One of the worst vipers in the world is religious pride. And that can come in the overcoming message, boy. Don't you think it can? It can make you proud and puffed up and suckered off in the left field so fast. And you're positive you're in the Lord's will. All your cues are coming up positive. And you've got the feeling and the hustle and everything. But there's something wrong and you know it. Everybody else knows it. It's what happened is you've missed God and the Lord is humble and he won't touch it. He won't touch it. And pretty soon you stagger and you come into a salt land that's dry and you finally admit to yourself, I've come off somewhere. And then you come back and say, does anybody know where God is? And then you're ready to hear. That's always that way. And that's the good news to the meek or to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to deal with people that have problems. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Not the talk in tongues. That isn't the sign that we've arrived. God has given us the anointing because there's people in the church with needs. See, this is talking, Christ is talking about the Christing or the anointing or the double portion of the inheritance. He hasn't given to us to have a great revelation and throw our weight around. He's given it because the church is full of people that are bent out of shape. Listen, I'm in a position to get letters from people. I got one in there in the office I was tempted to read. Audrey read it to me. It must be 10 pages long. Boy, people have nothing. They have nothing. Brother Thompson, would you please come up? Could you spend 3 days? Could you spare 3 days? We've got 10 couples and they've been into the prosperity, and some of them are elders, and they've come on hard times, and it isn't working, and they don't know where they are. Could you come? People today are hurting, and God has given us an anointing. And I'm not talking about myself now. I'm just talking about us that God anoints and gives something to. And he hasn't given it to us to make us puffed up and smart spiritually. He's given to us because there's coming a famine for the word of God in the land. Praise the Lord. And we're not supposed to be all embroiled in the world to where we can't move. Now, we've got to find out where God wants us. We've got to follow God's timing. Just because someone says, come up here and help us. I go to prayer. I don't... last week someone was talking to me about doing something. I just don't do these things. Just because the door opens, you don't run into it. You go before God. Because our time today, we're going one day at a time. We're going half a day at a time. And every nickel and every second has got to count. It's got not good. It's got to be optimum. It's got to be perfect. The need is so horrendous. And so you wonder, is it the best thing to spend time in Christian Life Fellowship and make the tapes? Is that the best thing? Or the best thing to do is to pray? Is it to write? Where? What is the most efficient and effective thing to do? Not what you feel like. Or even what people say or where they call. It's what is going to do the best. And brother, sister, if we do... Psalms 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And I'm telling you, there's problems coming. And if God looks down, you know, saints, the Lord has one thing in mind. He wants his bride perfected. And we talk about it. We say, yeah, that's good. Yeah, bring the bride to perfection and everything. But I want you to know that is the burning desire of Christ's heart. He's not casual about this thing. It doesn't be nice if you build up the church. He wants the church built up. And if you and I have got our lives on the line and are really giving it our best shot, then God is going to preserve us in the catastrophes to come because we are useful. Now, that's kind of a crass way to put it. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us or anything, but there is a usefulness that operates in this thing. And if we are just good Joes living an ordinary good life and everything, but we don't have every bit of punch that we've got into this building up his body, when the Lord comes and he combs through the land, we'll just take us to glory because we're not doing what he wants. He's got one thing in mind. He wants his beloved built up. And he wants you, he wants me to give it everything I've got. There's no more time for me to deal in public school education. There's no more time for that. I've got to spend my life at what I'm doing. And you do too. You do too. If you are anointed of God, your life in the world is over. It is over. I'm not telling you to quit your job. You have to work out the details. But you can imagine the prayers that you're going to have to pray if you're still in secular employment that is challenging. You're going to have to pray like a camel drinking water every day, or you will surely get sucked into nothingness. Christ wants his church built. And not later. Now. 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 I was meditating on this, and a verse came to me in Luke 19, verse 41. And I know you share the concern. I'm not yelling because I don't think you share the concern with me. But saints, we have to do as Hebrews says. We have to exhort one another daily because our culture weighs on us. You leave here by tomorrow morning, you'll have heard 2,500 things opposite from what I'm telling you. Everything you see and hear and feel is opposite to what I'm telling you. And that's why if we could live in church and we went 7 days a week, it would be different. But we're in a culture that is rich and full of stimuli. And it's constantly telling us, it's not so, it's not so, it'll be this way forever. Or at least till you're 70 and retired. And that happened to the Jews in Luke 19, verse 41. That happened to the Jews. Jesus, the Lord God of Moses, was in town, and they didn't know it. And so Jesus approached the city. He saw the city and wept over it. Do you know why he wept over it? Because they were prospering. And because they were feeding their sheep and watering their goats and living decent, ordinary Jewish lives. And Jesus was saying, you'll go to synagogue next Saturday and you'll read in the scroll of the prophet and the God of the prophets is here. You say, well, if I'd have been there, Jesus, I wouldn't have watered my goats and just wasted all my time. I'd have sat at your feet. Well, if you would have then, you will know. Because you see, the Lord comes and it's plain and unpretentious. And we are in a day, we are in a transition time from the kingdom age to the millennium right now. Right now. It's in the spiritual realm. Hit your knees and pray. God won't tell you it's business as usual. He'll tell you the Spirit of God is moving. This is the day. And that's what happened to the Jews, and they blew it. And Jesus said this in verse 42, if you had known in this day, even you, meaning even you, Jerusalem, the people of God, if you had known, and the world can't possibly know, but if you had known, but you see, they were comforting one another, the old people were rocking in their rockers, the young people were flirting and getting engaged. They were buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage. And here was God walking in their streets. You say, if I'd have been there, I'd have seen him. How? He was only a carpenter. He was only an itinerant carpenter. There was nothing to see. You say, oh, but he saw the miracles. That won't do it. That just won't do it. And even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Now, that applies to us as a church, it applies to us as a nation, it applies to us as an individual. It was not essential, necessary, or mandated that Jerusalem be destroyed. They were destroyed because when God's hour came, they remained blind. That's why they were destroyed, because you see, God is economical. He has certain things that he's doing. He's a businessman. He does not waste people. He does not waste time. He does not waste anything. You know, he multiplies the fish and then he says, gather up the fragments. That's so ridiculous. He could have multiplied a world full of fish, but he wants nothing wasted. And so, what God does, the way the history of the world has gone, is what God does is when a nation or a person or a family is doing his will, he blesses them because that's a smart thing to do in business, is to support and put your money in where it's working. But that which is proving to be useless, he takes away. And that's what he says. If you don't bear fruit, I'll take you out of the vine. Men gather them in branches and they are burned. In other words, it's no use to it. It's a branch on a tree. And every year the farmers in this area and in Southern California go through and they take off all the dead branches off of the fruit trees and they put them in piles and they burn them. They get a burn permit and they burn them because they're no good. They cumber the ground. Now, saints, I believe with all my being that catastrophe is coming to our nation. And you are not going to be kept just because you name the name of Jesus. Now hear me. The 91st Psalm says, he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High. And that doesn't mean just getting up in the morning and saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, turning on the news and going to the work. It means that you are useful to God. You are in the center of his will. And if God looks down, now God has angels and he could lay waste a whole nation and leave you standing on your feet. He has that selective power through angels, through his spirit, through his divine power and Godhead. He can protect whom he wants and he can take whom he wants. And God is a businessman. He's always looking for profit. And if you want to have a pretty good chance of surviving with food and water and your safety and the safety of your household in the days which are coming, listen. Make sure you don't miss the day of your visitation. If God has something for you. Now the Jews, it wasn't that they went out and murdered Christ. That isn't what he was talking about. That happened with the priests. That didn't happen with the common people. There was a handful of priests that put Pilate and seated the multitude and as agitators. And the common people heard Jesus gladly. But what they missed was the day of their visitation. They should have been out on their streets saying, God is here, God is here, God is here, God is here. Oh, Hosanna, the King has come, God is here. That's all the sin that they did. They didn't do that. And even the disciples rebuked Jesus when the people began to praise him. They rebuked the people, and Jesus rebuked his disciples and said, listen, if these people didn't praise me, the stones would cry out. You see, they were missing the day of their visitation. It was business as usual. It was chafing about the Roman Empire. But mostly it was just ordinary family people with their daughters and their sons and their food and the business problems and the older people and just life. Just life. And life caused them to miss the day of their visitation. Now you say, what do you expect me to do? Never chew gum again or drink coffee? That isn't what God's after, is us trying to be some special kind of holy people in these standards. That's not what God wants. What God wants is what? His church built. You see? And every one of us has a ministry. Something that God wants done. That's not clergy, laity, that does not exist. God has something for you to do. If you give your life to it, you will find it, and God will take care of you in the evil time, because you knew he won't lay you waste. Why would he? Be foolish. Here you're doing what he wants. But if you are not doing what he wants, you're cumbering the ground. You see, because he's going somewhere. He's got something that he wants. You say, well, God doesn't love me. He loves you. God will take you to paradise and he loves you. But this earth is a place where God is doing certain things. And he wants them done. This little church, God has a purpose in this church. And when its purpose is, this isn't an average church. We're not building a thing here like a Christian church where we'll have a liturgy and eventually a robe choir and we'll add an organ to our repertoire and it'll be built. This is not the direction we're going here. This is only, you know, even, I was noticing something the other day that in Revelation 21 where it says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's very interesting, that word. You would expect that word to be, the temple of God is with men. I mean, this is the big wind-up. But do you know what it says? It says, the tent of God is with men. Revelation 21, the tent of God is with men. You see, in the tabernacle, all of these implements had staves. And this isn't quite right, in that when it was at rest, the staves were not in the bronze altar, but they're there now to show you what the staves look like. But there was one vessel that always had the staves in it. They were never removed. What was it? The ark. And what that says is that the presence of God for eternity will never be static. It's always moving. Always moving, you see. So, God has something that he's doing. He wants it done. The church world is desperate. They're slowly beginning to turn from this pre-tribulation rapture and beginning to question that, from the prosperity mess, like a great sluggish mass that's starting to turn, and people are hungry and they're desperate and say, have you got anything? Do you know anything? Have you seen God? And God has a plan for this church. And he wants it done. And if it's not done, we will have missed the day of our visitation. Yeah. And if I'm hearing the Lord correctly, it is now that is the day of our visitation. It is not going to be when you get older, then you're going to go out for God or anything of the kind. I'm not saying to run out and minister. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying don't imagine that there'll be a magic point in the future at which all of a sudden you'll change. It will not happen. I know I'm 56, nearly 57. Life doesn't work that way. You'll be surprised after you get over 30 how fast the years go. How many have noticed that? And you think someday the magic is going to hit. You know, someday I'll wake up in the morning and it won't be I anymore with my problems and my bills. God will just touch me. I'll be something and I'll just go out and I'll zap them. It doesn't work like that. What it works like is someday, and the best time is today. Don't get sucked into the liturgical year. It's summer now, and you can't have revival in the summer. But as soon as September comes, I'll get in the thing. You'll not do it. I've lived through too many cycles. It will not happen. When September comes, there'll be reasons why you can't. At some point in your life, and it might as well be now, you say, Jesus, I accept the concept that you have called me to be a member of the body of Christ. And from this point on, my time, my money, my strength is devoted to the anointing. And you do all that and nothing will happen. Probably. The Lord will say, why don't you roll over and go to sleep? He wants to see if you mean business. You get up the next morning and say, Lord, I love you. The next move is yours, Lord. I'm on the altar today. Hallelujah to God. Okay? Use me today. Nothing happens. Okay? You get out of town and buy a pair of shoes. Next day, Lord, here's your man. Do something. How long do you think God's going to put up with that? With a world full of dying people. He's not going to put up with that for very long. He'll say to the people around him, there's people standing around God, those that stand by, find out Zechariah, to the angels. He'll say, that person, that's just how it's done. Yeah. That person, it isn't all wrapped up in a Christmas package. You make the difference. That person means business. See, I being in the way the Lord led me, not I being asleep in bed the Lord led me. I being in the way the Lord led me. You can't do it. You can't make up your mind and start kindling sparks out of your personality and walk in the light of your own sparks. See, I think the Lord's calling me to China because I suddenly feel Chinese. Now, you can't do that. You can't go by notions and every time a twig snack, that's a sign from the Lord. You get over there, when you get there, you won't know what to do. You've got to wait, and that's part of the game. But if we just wait, it'd be all right if we just say, all right, I'll wait. And so I'll go to night school and I'll become the world's greatest electronic technician. No, you can't do that. No, it'd be all right to go. I'm not talking about you people. But you've got to remember what you're doing is a holding action. It's a holding. And that's so difficult because we get into something and then it ceases to be a holding action and it becomes a new way of life and we've lost what we're trying to do. What we were trying to do was to hold steady, but in the meanwhile, we were keeping ourselves vibrant, vibrant, vibrant. God, you didn't call me in this world to just make a living and feed the goats. I'm a member of the body of Christ. It won't be long before you'll see your life taking a channel. And here's another thing. I don't think God wants to work with us this way. God speaks and we do it. Or we put out a fleece and then we go by our fleece. God wants to become so much a part of our personality that we do it without even realizing how it happened. That's a closer walk with God than having God talk to you. You can get in trouble having God talk to you. Because 8 times it'll be God and the 9th time it won't, and you won't know the difference. But if you say, God, lead me. I commit my way to you. I trust in you. Lord, just have your way. Just move me today. Lord, use me. Don't let me go the way of the world. You say, well, why do you have to do that? That's the way it works in the spiritual realm. You have to blow the trumpet. You have to let God know. You have to keep letting God go. Ask, and you shall receive. Right? Seek to him that knocks. It shall be open. So you don't do it on your own. You don't just get your notions and go. Neither do you go to sleep. You stay before God and just keep reminding, Lord, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I don't want to be a useless branch in the earth. If we don't do that, we will miss the day of our visitation as a church. Because God has called us to something in this church. And it's not for us, it's for his body. What we have been given is for the body of Christ. And it behooves us to do everything in our power to move it. If we do, God will keep us in the day of desolation. If we do not, we're taking our chances. Because God may say, this one was unproductive. Does that mean God doesn't love you? No. Does it mean you're lost? No. You'll have to deal with God in those terms. We'll move someone in here who is productive. Because God wants his church built. He wants his body built. And he's single-minded about it. He's got a passion about this thing. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. God doesn't want his people suffering inequity, being knocked about and abused by the church. He doesn't want that. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, God wants us. That doesn't mean that he's going to set us free so we... He wants to loosen up this individuality that I was telling you about and bring us into the larger expanse of union with the saints and union with God. And that means a loss of individuality. And that's, but it's freeing. It's freeing. It's freeing on God's terms. That kind of liberty, the kind, Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So we say, Lord, set me free! We picture ourselves doing anything we want to. And instead, we end up in the worst prison we were ever in. Say, Lord, teach me patience. We get affliction. Just pray once for the Lord to set you free. You'll end up in solitary. You say, what in the world? Because that's how, because the bonds are not physical, they are within us. Praise the Lord. And it's the prison where we're set free. And we can't do that except through the anointing. This isn't a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. God wants his people out of the bondage of the devil, the world, and the flesh. He wants them set free, not to do their own thing, but to have the peace of the Lord. Then he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. When is the acceptable year according to the New Testament? What does it say? You remember? Today. Today is the acceptable time. It's today that is God's time. It isn't the future. The vision is for today. And notice that that's the glory. We say, well, I don't have to wait for the millennium to get the power of God. But there's something else goes with it. And by the way, Jesus, at that comma, after the word Lord, Jesus rolled up the scroll. Right there. Right there. He said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he rolled up the scroll. So this scroll is being opened in the end time. And we're adding to it the day of vengeance of our God. That goes with the glory. Not just the praise, but the praise and the sword. The high praises of God in their mouth and a two-edged sword in the hand. You get too much praise in a church and not enough of the word, and the church gets soupy, giddy, sappy. Praise the Lord. You get all of the sword and no of the praise, and the church gets dry and morose. There has to be the high praises and the two-edged sword. If either one of those are missing, it won't work. It has to have the day, the acceptable day, and the day of vengeance at the same time. So if you're praising the Lord and you're running into all kinds of trouble, that's the norm. That's what it's supposed to be. Because you're not perfect yet. You're not perfect. Say, boy, if I could just get out of Christian Life Fellowship and go, man, the world is waiting for me. No, they're not. They're waiting for Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you have to join the bondage with the rest of us. All right. To comfort all that mourn. Now, are you mourning? Or are you happy? How many in here have it made in the shade? You got the world by the tail on a downhill pole. Everything is going right for you. You pray and God says, here it is. No problems. No family problems. No economic problems. No perplexity. You know everything that you're supposed to do and it's all going great. Huh? If you're like that, God has nothing for you. He's come to help people in trouble. If you want a good, safe place to be, mourn. James says, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. He said, what kind of a church is that? It's the church of the mourners. It's the church of the used Kleenex boxes. Huh? And if you're rich, you can't only mourn. What else do you have to do? Howl! So if you come to the church and people are mourning and the rich are howling, you're in a New Testament church. That's right. You say, I don't like to do that. I like to be happy. Well, God wants us happy. The happiest place to be is when you're mourning. I don't know. There's just something about it. Do you ever have anybody come laugh and having a good time when you're feeling rotten? Yeah? You want to make somebody that's feeling rotten feel good? Go in and just weep. Think of the worst thing in your life and weep. And pretty soon they'll begin to feel better. This isn't so bad after all. And then they'll begin to comfort you. And they'll take heart. That's right. All right. God has come to help those who are mourning. And if we're at ease in Zion, we figured it out. We got adjusted to the message. We know how we can work it. It's all right. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's business as usual. Watch it. You're not mourning. You're not mourning. Keep yourself miserable. Praise the Lord. Joy. Pete had the word tonight, and that's right. The Lord told me that before I come out. It is joy. It really is. But it's not the joy of having it all made. It's the joy that comes through prayer, the confidence that even though I lost my job, God is still on the throne. If you can lose your job and keep your joy, you got the real stuff. Praise the Lord. But if it's just because you've got it pretty well knocked and your job is steady and you've got your retirement thing pretty well going and you're insured for $100,000 and everything, you've got joy, it's no surprise, is it? Yeah? But if you can't see where the rent's going to be paid and things do not look good for your industry and your future is unsettled and rocky and you still have joy, then you got the joy of the Lord. The other is just American affluence. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people in this church that do not have steady jobs. And some of them are facing unemployment or are unemployed. And those are the people that I'm talking to. That's the ones Jesus came to comfort. Praise the Lord. Because he says, take heart, I'm going to supply all your needs. Praise the Lord, isn't that wonderful? But we don't need that if somebody else is doing it for us. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. You see, Messiah is not sent. And when the heathen came to Jesus, what did he say? I don't give the children's bread to the dogs. And remember the Syrophoenician woman said, yes, but the puppies eat of the crumbs under the table. He said, woman, your daughter is delivered. See? But Jesus set the tone. What this anointing for, I think a lot of times the church is trying to take the good things of the church and give it to the world so the world gets saved. That's not what it's for. It's for those who are mourning in the church. The ministry that God has given us, the messianic ministry, is for the church. It's for Zion. The world will come when Zion gets straightened out. It's Zion today that is all wrapped up in the prosperity and the rapture and all this other stuff that is worthless. It's the church that's in the problem, not the world. God is anointing us to build up his church. That's what he's interested in. To give unto them. Now, there's three things here. Beauty for ashes. What kind of beauty is that? Do you know? That mean the Lord's going to run a weight reduction clinic or what? What kind of beauty is that? There's one kind of beauty that the Lord loves. The beauty of holiness. Holiness has a beauty to it. The holiness of the heart. You come in and you see someone and they're just so wrapped up in God they don't even see you. And they look up. I don't care they're young or old, male or female or who they are, what their body shape is or anything else. You watch their face. If they're wrapped up in the Lord, there's a beauty there. Did you ever notice that? There's a glow and a beauty of holiness. The first thing is to give them the beauty for ashes. The second thing is the oil of joy in place of mourning. Now, before you get the oil of joy, what do you have to do? Mourning. You have to be in a place of trouble. God wants his body. That's why he came in the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are you who mourn. See? Woe unto the rich. Blessed are you who are mourning. The gospel is to the mourners, the afflicted. And then it says the garment of praise. If anyone's here tonight and you've got a heavy spirit, don't leave. Give us a chance to pray. We'll pray around here at 11 or 12 or 1 or whatever it takes until God lifts the thing from you. Maybe you have never prayed through. Maybe you're just walking around gumming the thing to death. And God wants you to pray it through until it lifts from you. The doubt, the fear, the oppression, whatever it is. Stay, we'll pray with you. We'll keep the lights on. Till you get yourself prayed through. God doesn't want you bowed down. Maybe you're in a mood or something. Kick the thing. Get tough with it. Pray about it. Pray through. If you're worried about the future, come and pray through till the Lord says, it's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Don't walk out of this place all bowed down. There's no need for it. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you're not free to raise your hands tonight, God wants you to be free to raise your hands and praise him. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. See, he wants us to be trees, or literally, oaks of righteousness. And God's people are not oaks of righteousness. Worldwide, they're not oaks of righteousness. They don't know beans from applesauce about righteousness. Derek Prince went over to, I think it was Finland. It was either Finland or Denmark. They'd never heard about casting out of demons. Recently, they had a Pentecostal convention in Denmark, by the way, and the king of... I've got to make sure it was Denmark. Norway, I think. Norway. It was the king of Norway, that's it. And the king of Norway came and greeted the Pentecostal convention and told them that they'd done the church in his country a lot of good, not just recently. Praise the Lord. King shall come to thy light. Well, anyway, Scandinavia is getting some revival going. But Derek Prince had gone to one of these two countries, either Denmark or Norway, and he talked a little bit about casting out of demons, and they'd never heard of it. And so they asked him about it closely. He says, I don't want to go into this. I don't have time to develop it. I don't have time to really teach. Oh, we've got to hear about this. So he told him about it, and then he had to leave, as he said. Well, you know, they went right straight into extremism. The pastor in Iceland told me, he says, they wouldn't even tune the piano. The piano had a demon in it. They'd go over and cast the demon out of the piano if it was out of tune. This is the way it is. People do not know anything. Bryce said that when he went into East Germany and he taught the Christians there behind the Iron Curtain to lift their hands, it was a revelation. They never heard of it. That you could lift your hands and praise God in church. They never heard of it. Now, John Holland of the Foursquare goes all over the world. And he evaluates the mission fields and does all kinds of things that the brass do. And he told me, I was talking to him on the phone about this thing about India, which hasn't got solved. In fact, it's kind of gone into a lethargy. I called them up and laid it before them, and I haven't heard, and I don't know what to do with this guy that wanted all the people to come over anyway. So this is one more thing on my mind, burden. But I told John Holland about this, and he said that was funny because two other churches in California almost at the identical time had got some contact with India, and you see the Foursquare has no, they're not registered in India. And this fella that Bob Marley knows, he had offered to register Christian Life Fellowship in India. And so I call it the Foursquare. I don't want to register Christian Life Fellowship in India. I told John Holland, I said, here's an angle for you. Send your man down there to this guy and get your Foursquare church registered in India. See, you have to be invited to do that. And he said, you know, two other churches have made a contact with India. So strange. God must be moving in India. And I was telling you that for some reason. Oh, yes. And then he said to me, he encouraged me to go over to India. He said, you should go over there because, he said, the churches abroad do not have the gift ministries. Just think of it. He said, God has given to North America the gift ministries. Now you just think what that means. Keeping in mind what we said about Christ's anxiety about his bride, and to whom much is given, much is going to be required. Listen, God has given to America, and he must have meant Canada too, because he said North America, gift ministries. He's also given us money to support the gospel. These two things. And these people in the third world nations have neither money, nor do they have the gift ministries. In many cases, why God has done that, I do not know. He's made us rich spiritually and rich financially compared to the rest of the world. And these people have so little. Bob Marley said that if we were to go over there and preach, now get this. I mean, this is almost something you cannot grasp. He said people would walk 100 miles to hear the teaching. That would be like walking from here to Riverside, and that isn't even 100 miles. Could you imagine if you knew somebody was going to be preaching the gospel that you would walk from here to Riverside to hear the word of life? Now, you put yourself in God's spot. He looks down at Christian Life Fellowship. He looks down at other churches like this where he's moving in the United States. And he sees what we have, and he sees us putting the major part of our physical and psychic and mental, psychological energy into things of this world. And those people want a crumb, just a crumb. How long do you think we're going to be at ease in the United States of America? You know what God's going to do, as I said this morning, I really believe it. He's going to visit us with catastrophe, not because he doesn't love us, but because it will be a worse thing for us if he does not, because the blood of those countless multitudes will be on our hands. He's going to have to uproot and uproar our life to the place where we have, where it will be simple for us to give ourselves to the gospel because we don't have anything else. I believe that with all my heart. And it's not going to be a time of woe is me. I don't have a television. I don't have a bank account. It's not going to be that. You're going to find the greatest joy in service. Christ is going to set you and me free from the material, so that we can take what gifts we have and what money we have and live for God. Isn't it? It's God's love that's coming, saints. It's we're scared. We're sitting in our panel houses. Oh, boy, if anything happens, I better lock the door and get a peephole on the door and just watch out there because the world's out there. We're afraid. We're frightened and cramped. Like David Wilkerson says, no more. I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to go back to the streets where God called me. So this week he's supposed to be back in the streets in L.A. ministering. Because the people that are praying know the time is short. Praise the Lord. This, saints, not 1990. 1982 is the year of our visitation. The world, God says, leave it to be trampled underfoot of the nations. God is evaluating the holy place, us. Praise the Lord. Jesus, Lord, we've preached it as we know it, Lord. And Lord, there's not a person in here that we want to miss the day of our visitation. Lord, we know that the devil's favorite trick is to say not today. Whether it's to get saved, get the baptism, or minister, it's always not now. Tomorrow will be better. And Lord, we know that psychology is very, very deep in us, Lord. That someday, somehow, it's all going to work. And we know, Lord, that it doesn't work that way ordinarily. It's as we ask and seek and knock. Lord, I believe this is our day of visitation. I believe, Jesus, that you have entrusted Christian Life Fellowship and other fellowships, Lord, across our land with biblical knowledge that doesn't appear in the commentaries, that the third world nations have never heard, that Scandinavia has never heard, that Europe to a certain extent has never heard. They know Pentecost, Lord, and nothing more. And Lord, here we are with the Word of God. And Lord, we're not going to run out in our own strength. We're not going to try to meet the need in our own juices. But Lord, we are determined people. And we mean business. And Lord, whatever you have to do to get this thing rolling, Lord, I personally feel that it's foundering. And whatever you have to do to get it rolling at the speed and the magnitude that you want, I pray, Jesus, you will do it with dispatch. Praise your name, Lord, for every one of us. Lord, I know our bread and waters are sure. I know, Lord, you're not going to leave us naked, Lord, when you clothe the lily of the field. I know, Lord, that our security does not come from the money, Lord, the currency of the land. I know it comes from heaven, Lord. I know it's hard for us to make that break, Lord, but we've got to. And, Lord, we're praying to you, Lord, that you will stop the business as usual, Lord. We're trapped in it. We're caught in it, Lord. Don't let Christian Life Fellowship become another church. Jesus. Jesus. Don't let it happen, Lord. Oh, God. There's thousands of churches, Lord. We're praying for the restoration of the power of God. For the anointing. Lord, we want to know our ministries. We want the double portion, the same works and the greater works. Lord, we want to be used of God in our life. Hallelujah. We want to be used of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, we care about the third world people. We care about Scandinavia. We care about the people in India, Lord. We care about the people that I want a crumb. And we'll walk 100 miles to hear a gospel message, Lord. We care about these people, Lord. We're not careless about these people. God, we care about them. We care about these 10 couples that are disillusioned about the prosperity message and want us to come, Lord, and explain what God is doing. We care, Lord. We care about these people. We're not trying to save our life, Lord. We want to lose it in the gospel, Lord. We trust you, Lord. You've always supplied our need when we did your will. And Lord, we pray you convey to everyone in this room tonight, Lord, absolute joy and absolute security in Christ, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you're not trying to bow us down. You're trying to set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that we'll not worry about the newspaper or whatever's coming or what. Anything about anything, Lord, but just walk in that absolute joy of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we trust you tonight, Lord, a little bit. We don't have much strength, Lord, but we have some. And, Lord, we pray you'll set before us an open door. And, Lord, just move the forces that are on our life, Lord. Weaken those that are resisting us. Yes. Lord, and increase those that are pushing us in your direction. Yes. Lord, till we move off the dime. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. God, get us in motion. Yes. Jesus. Christ. Jesus. Lord, every one of us in this assembling, Lord, do something for us tonight, Lord. Do something for us on this Sunday, Lord, in June of 1982, Lord. Today is the time. Now is the time, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Right now. Right now, Lord. Right now. Do something wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open up vistas of encouragement, Lord. Horizons of glory. Gifts and ministries, Lord, without measure. Oh God, now we pray. Right now we pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, lift every burden, Lord. Every care, every concern. Oh Jesus, hallelujah. Lead us in the way of glory. Lord, make this church a firebrand. Hallelujah. And cause the sparks to light the world. Jesus. 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 Send us out, Lord, to meet these needs, Lord, as you will and how you will, Lord. Praise your name. Don't let this pool become stagnant, Lord. Jesus, keep the water, crack the vessel, Lord, so that it keeps running out, Lord, so you can keep filling it, Jesus. We need help, Lord. Christian Life Fellowship needs help. We need help, Lord. All of us need help, Lord. We want to be a fortress. We want to be, Lord, a power of God in the earth, Lord, to do your will. God, we don't care whether school keeps or not, Lord. We want to do your will.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Break us out of the rut, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God. Do wonderful things, Lord, that we know not. Surprise us, Lord, with joy, with glory, with revelation. Oh, Jesus, we know you're a man of joy. Hallelujah, Lord, of peace. Oh, God, visit us, Lord. We all need help, Lord. We're all being bogged down, Lord, under the cares, Lord. We need a touch from God. Oh, hallelujah. Heal the sick of the assembling, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Heal Harvey Borman, we pray, Lord. Reach down and touch him and make him everywhere whole, Lord. Heal his back, Lord. Make his feet as hinds' feet, Lord. Touch his spirit, Lord. He may rise up in the might of God. Hallelujah. With a new vision of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Oh, Lord, set us free. Set us free, Lord. Set us free, Lord. Oh, Jesus. This whole county, Lord, shake the thing. Lord, there's more Christians here than there are in all of India in this one county, Lord. I do believe, Lord. Jesus, do something. Do something. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do something in this county, Lord. Do something in this church. Jesus, surprise us, Lord, with wonderful things. Set us free from the world. Set us free from the American way of life. Set us free from materialism. Set us free from our plans for the future. Set us free, Lord, from everything that would in any wise cause us to be bowed down, Lord. Hallelujah. Worried, concerned, heavy of heart. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, making treasure cities for Pharaoh. God, deliver us. Deliver us, Lord. It's not going anywhere, Lord. Lord, we want to spread the word all over the world. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, solve this thing on India, Lord. It's come to an impasse. Lord, do something. Do something, Lord. Do something. Jesus, help this pastor, Lord. In India, Lord, and all these people, Lord, so they won't be hearing such things, Lord. They have to walk 100 miles to hear the word. God, you've got technology today that can solve that. People, things, Lord, that you want used in your kingdom. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help us. We pray, Lord, you'll do in us the same works and the greater, Lord, the miracle power of Jesus. We need to see you, Lord. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need the latter rain. Oh, God. We plead for the latter rain. We plead for the latter rain. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. We're a needy people tonight, Lord. People in this room have problems, Lord. Lift them. Give them wisdom. Answers, Lord. Praise your name. Healing, Lord, for the whole church. A new grip on God. New vision, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, no more business as usual. Move it from us, Lord. Make tonight and tomorrow an adventure that we've never known, Lord. Strange, surprising, wonderful, marvelous, Lord. Jesus, not the same old stuff. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Holy Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, anoint this radio broadcast, Lord. I pray people will listen to it by the thousands. Cause them, Lord, to go out on the streets and pray to God. Do something, Lord. Do something, Lord. Marvelous in our midst. God. Hallelujah. Lord, don't let us get stuck in the mud. In our day of visitation, Lord. Watering our goats, Lord, when Jesus is in town. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. What would you have us do, Lord? Anything, Lord. You name it, you've got it, Lord. You name it, you've got it. No questions asked, Lord. You just specify what you want, make it clear, Lord, and send us on our way, Lord, that we'll know your will. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healy out of Ohio. Yes, Lord. Help everyone in this room, Lord. Set our house in order, God. Get us ready, ready, ready. And our eyes on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Our eyes squarely on you. Praise your name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Praise the Lord.
The Lord God would answer thy cry this night. He'd answer thy cry, and he'd liken this place unto that man that lied by the pool and waited to be put into the waters when he stood. He'd liken this place unto that man, and he's seen many a heart. And he'd liken you unto a man that's waited for a man to put you into the pool. Thy healing might come, that light might come, but the Lord God would speak this night. And he'd say unto this people, that I desire to touch you this night, and not waiting for a man to put you into the pool. But I desire to touch you. I desire to heal you. I desire to make you whole to send you forth. Have not I spoken this night, have I not spoken to my servant to go forth, but so many wait for a man to put you into the pool, but I desire to touch thee, I desire it.
Yes, I bear witness with that, and that's what God has been speaking to my spirit, saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to just ask the Lord to just lift, Lord, whatever holds us back, Lord. Oh, Lord, whatever it's going to take. Hallelujah. Lord, you put us into the pool.
Yes.
You do whatever is necessary, Lord. I bear witness, Lord. I bear witness that it's your will that this church, Lord, be more activated, Lord, in your spirit. And that we find your will and that we pursue it, Lord, and not fall back into traditional Christianity, Lord. And not compare ourselves with anyone, Lord, but just find your will. Lord, we need intercessors, and we pray you'll raise up intercessors. We pray, Lord, you'll just do whatever you have to do to get us moving in your direction, Lord. Praise your name. We're not going to do it ourselves, Lord. We're not going to anoint ourselves. But we are determined, Lord, to find your will and to do it. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. I'll speak to everyone in this church, Lord, however you will, when you will, and work your will in us, Lord. Well, we do not want the blood of the nations on our hands, Lord, or of your people, Lord, that are at the point of despair because they have no message. And Lord, don't ever, ever, ever let us in this church Say, well, we've got it, and that's the main thing, so let's settle down, bolt it down. God, I'm afraid for that thing. Jesus, help us to get our missionary vision, Lord, to really be activated. Do whatever's necessary to activate us, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Help us to remember, Lord, every single bit of information we have is for the body of Christ and not for ourselves. Help us to realize that, Lord. Like Joseph, we're being prepared, Lord, to feed your church and the world. And, Lord, it's not so that we might sit in our little thing, Lord, and business as usual. Lord, keep us flexible, alive, full of joy and expectancy, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, glory. Well, I feel full of joy, and I hope you do. You don't look it. Huh? Pam looks it. June's full of joy. I see that. Praise the Lord. Say, well, how can you be full of joy after going through all that? I know. All I know is when we do the Lord's will, we get full of joy. And God wants us all full of joy, saying, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've got to keep joyful until God really does these things we're talking about. I know He's going to. I know He's going to. And we may be scared right out of our wig. Sure, it's just like the first time your father threw you in the swimming pool. And you're sure you're going to drown. But then when you swim, or you are just as happy as if you had good sense. And that's just the way we are. God's fixing to throw us into the swimming pool, and we're sure we're going to drown. When we find out we can swim, we'll just look all around like we've been doing all our life. So it's good times ahead in the spirit, but it's no time to fool around, because I truly believe in my spirit. Catastrophe is coming, and I'd be a false shepherd if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I've had enough of a burden about it that I have to say it, or I'd sure feel remiss. And it's not to be frightened or anything, but it's the goodness of the Lord to get us prepared and activated in His kingdom. And just remember what I said, God wants us to build His church. And if we do that, God will find us useful in the earth. And who knows, He might really spare us in a remarkable way because we're useful. But if we're in business as usual, I think we've got a problem. Or I'm not hearing the Lord right. Praise God! Hallelujah! All right. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Let's all stand now and we just praise the Lord. It's a continued story. Lord, you're so tremendous. Lord, you're so great. Jesus, you're so wonderful, Lord. And we want to do your will, Lord. We don't want to be bogged down. Hallelujah. Oh, thou art Messiah, Son of David. Oh, Lord, fill us with thy joy. Fill us with thy glory. Fill us with thy strength. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thou art so great. Oh, glory. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. We give glory unto thee. Hiri arabahaya arabahandala arabahasi. Hiri arabahaya. Hiri arabahaya arabahandala arabahasi. Hiri arabahaya. Hiri arabahaya arabahandala arabahasi. Eki siri arabahaya. Oh, thou art glorious, O Lord. Hallelujah. Marvelous in thy holy dwelling place. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thou art worthy. Oh, thou hast prevailed. Yes, Lord. Lord, thou hast prevailed. Oh, thou hast prevailed. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. You are the man. You are the one. Lead on. Wherever, however you go, that's where we want. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Nobody like you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Praise God. Wonderful. I'm going to ask Bob Marley, Sr., if he will, to let us conclude in prayer tonight.
Father, you know the cry in every heart of this assembly.
Amen. You do, Lord.
You know the deep burdens that are within many that are here at this assembly.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you have poured in much tremendous spiritual wisdom in the many that are in this group.
Help us, Lord.
Lord, each one here wants to do your perfect will.
That's right. That's right, Jesus.
Yes, Father, we would ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus,
amen,
that you would overcome every single natural thought. Lord, that you would cause each one of us to move in the Spirit, oh God.
Yes.
Move in the Spirit.
Yes.
We would not be influenced by the things of the natural.
Radical.
Move in the Spirit.
Radical.
We might hear from you, Lord. We might
yes.
know, Lord, this
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Lord,
not one.
Let no excuse, no reason.
Yes.
Come with our minds, O God. With our minds, O Lord. And we would turn aside from thy perfect will and purposes at this very moment.
Yes.
Even this very moment, you're speaking to some of us, Lord, that go out and do thy will, O Lord.
Yes.
Father, let not one of us miss what you have for us.
Grant it, Lord.
Because we're moving in the realm of the natural, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to move and breathe and live in the Spirit of God.
Grant it, Jesus.
That we might flow in thee, Lord. That we might do your perfect will.
Grant it, Jesus.
Yes, Father, we just cry unto thee, Lord.
We cry unto thee, Lord.
Disobedient unto thee.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, we want to be obedient unto thy call.
Hallelujah. Grant it, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, help us in our weaknesses, Lord.
Jesus.
Come out of the natural, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Grant it, Lord.
Oh, God, cause us to be a brave people, Lord.
Jesus, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord.
Oh, God, that we not be influenced by the natural.
Grant it, Lord.
Lord, move on this church,
yes, Lord.
Lord. Our vision, Lord.
Jesus. Jesus.
Cause us to stretch forth, Lord. Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we're just willing vessels, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We all fear, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We might just do thy will, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
More, nothing
less. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory. It's what I love is a noisy church.